WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Russian writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who died on Sunday, will be buried tomorrow in Moscow. Our critic-at-large John Powers has these thoughts on the man and his legacy.
In the seemingly endless run-up to the Beijing Olympics, the media keeps fretting about its coverage. Would it be rude or even wrong to criticize China's human rights abuses or its support for ghastly dictatorships? It's too bad that nobody asked Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Nobel Prize-winning writer who died over the weekend. I'd love to have seen his look of disdain. From the beginning, Solzhenitsyn's sense of righteous purpose made him more than a little daunting. With that aggressively unflattering beard and stark refusal to smile, he made Orwell and Camus seem about as serious as Groucho Marx. He belonged to the grand tradition of visionary Russian artists, from Tolstoy and Dostoevsky to Andrei Tarkovsky, men whose missionary zeal could border on the mystical. Solzhenitsyn's mission was to expose and conquer Soviet communism. He was well motivated to do it. The party had stripped him of everything. Born a year after the October Revolution, he was fighting the Germans in World War II when he got locked up for some flippant words about Stalin. He spent the next decade in prison and internal exile, eventually writing about his experiences in One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. This was the most earth-shattering, meaning the most realistic novel, ever to have been published in the Soviet Union. Its success made him a target, but he persevered. He worked 16 hours a day for years on the Gulag Archipelago, his anatomy of a system in which lies became the pillar of the state. He kept a pitchfork by the door in case the KGB happened by. As with many great artists, Solzhenitsyn's specialness lay in his ability to articulate what those around him more or less knew, but couldn't or wouldn't say. For starters, he had moral courage. Having faced down war, prison, and cancer, he had the fortitude to keep writing, all alone, against the world's biggest police state. But bravery alone won't get you the Gulag Archipelago. It takes vast intelligence and imagination. Solzhenitsyn had to dig for every piece of evidence, often at great personal risk, then put his findings in historical perspective, and then bring his stories alive. He could sometimes be a dreadful writer, especially later on. But he could also be brilliant. No one who's read him will ever forget that scene when a party member proposes a toast to Stalin, and the whole audience keeps applauding and applauding, because everyone's terrified to be the first one to stop. Like so many saintly sorts, he wasn't especially likable. He could be prickly, sanctimonious, a crank. Even fellow dissidents chided him for his vaulting egomania. But really, how could it have been otherwise? To stand up against the steamroller of a system that's flattened tens of millions of lives, you need more than your fair share of sheer cussedness. This made him a pain, and not only for the left, which resisted facing the hard truth of what Solzhenitsyn had to say about communism. On the right, Henry Kissinger convinced President Gerald Ford not to meet with the writer because his political views were, quote, an embarrassment. That is, they didn't serve realpolitik. Of course, once Solzhenitsyn was exiled to American soil in 1974, he did behave like an ungrateful guest, constantly scolding the West that welcomed him for its materialism and spiritual emptiness. Oddly, he seemed to think that suffering in a Siberian camp was somehow nobler than listening to the Beatles. In 1994, he returned to Russia as a culture hero. But it's the fate of heroes, those who live long enough anyway, to watch the world move on. Just ask Mikhail Gorbachev. Or Brett Favre. Eventually, he came to be seen as less a prophet than a monument, one occasionally bespattered by cultural pigeons enjoying the freedoms he helped give them. More often, he was simply ignored. If he cared what the world thought, he didn't show it. For better and worse, he always knew that he was right, even when he wasn't. Still, when it came to the matter on which he will be judged, the calamity of Soviet communism, he was clearly on the side of the angels. So much so that he soared free of the prison walls of powerlessness to become one of the essential figures of the 20th century. In his novel, The First Circle, a prisoner says, "You only have power over people so long as you don't take everything away from them. But once you rob a man of everything, he's free all over again." It was Solzhenitsyn's great triumph that he didn't merely write these lines. He proved them.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.